Hi, this is James Altucher. Thank you for listening to Eric Cabral's Entrepreneur Circle.
On this episode,
there's a reason why 70% of Americans are overweight. There's a reason why half of us are pre-diabetic. You just mentioned it. There's a lot of easy food, high carbohydrate food that just, if you're not burning it off, is going to sit right around the middle, right above the hips. But what has to happen, though, is we have to figure you out as an individual. And that's where diets don't work. Yeah, you can drop caloric intake and you're going to lose weight, but you're going to gain it back. So our whole thing is to sit down with our health coaches, look at your blood work, look at your food sensitivities, look at your genetics, put it all together in a package where it's an individualized approach.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to the Entrepreneur Circle, where we've built a community that shares lessons learned throughout our journeys, celebrate wins, our eureka moments, and embrace the F word, meaning failure, which I've come to realize that failure is success in progress. I'm Eric Cabral, your host, a husband, a father of two brilliant girls, and I've been called a heart-centered entrepreneur by my peers and mentors. My mission in life is to make the world a better place, one mic at a time. So I'm happy and humble to have you join in on that mission. And I hope that by the end of the show, we would have added value in your life. So if you're ready to jump into the circle, let's get to it. Hey, I'm so glad you're here because I don't often get the opportunity to share with you exactly what I do and what we do here at On Air Brands. So we help the folks in our community and our clients to launch a podcast and then produce them on a weekly basis. We also help to promote each episode with close to a dozen social media posts that consist of quote cards, sound bites, and video clips. And then we post them for you on your socials automatically. So if you're a business owner with a ton on your plate, and a podcast just seems super overwhelming, I get it. We don't need one more thing to worry about. So let me and my team at On Air Brands do the heavy lifting each week so that you can focus on what you do best, which is to build your business, have more time to pour into your family and your community, or just plain chill and recharge. So feel free to email me at eric@onairbrands.com so that we can book time together to chat about how we can align with your mission and how you can align with ours, which is to make the world better. One mic at a time. Now back to the show. Welcome back, folks, to another episode of the Entrepreneur Circle. I'm your most happy and humbled host, Eric Cabral. As usual, I have an amazing guest on the show here that's going to share a wealth of knowledge and stories that are going to have you on the edge of your seat. No pressure here, Jeff. So folks, if you don't know my GoBro and brother from another mother, Jeff Donatello, I want to welcome him to the show. How you doing?
Yeah, great to be here, man. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't probably be on any of these podcasts. We were talking before about how you influenced me to get on these shows. And here we are. And now I'm finally on yours, like almost a year later.
Man, I love it, dude. And, you know, it's I'm happy to be a part of anyone's journey, especially yours, because you're a good dude. And I'm going to let people know why and what you do. For those who don't know, you are the CEO, Jeff's the CEO and founder of Center for Wellbeing, where their focus is really on weight loss, non-surgical knee and joint pain relief, and regenerative medicine. He runs that with his wife. He's a father. He's a husband based out of New Hampshire. He's doing a lot of wonderful things for the GoBundance community. He's an entrepreneur. He's a triathlete. He's done some crazy wild things that we may get into here, like battling volcanoes and living to tell the story. And he has a lot of knowledge around longevity, which I'm sure we're going to get into here as well. But yeah, brother, thanks for being here and welcome again to the show.
Yeah, man. Looking forward to it.
So let's start with the very first question that I like to kick the show off with, and that is a eureka moment in your life or business that caused a major pivot or change.
A eureka moment. All right. Well, let's see. That I'm going to have to go with, because there's a lot of GoBros that listen to this. When John Edwin called me up and invited me to Philly to go to one of his GoBro meetings, and I walked into their meeting, there was 50 to 60 guys in a small restaurant, and it was this loud din of like just guys going crazy talking to each other, and everybody was like wildly into everyone's conversation. And I've never experienced anything like it. And being an extreme extrovert, for me, it was like, wow, I've found my tribe. And in 2 hours later, I gave John my credit card without telling my wife. And I said, yeah, I think I joined this GoBundance thing. I'll probably look it up later, but it seemed pretty cool. So that's a eureka moment.
You're like, I found my tribe. This is a place where I could lean into and tell my crazy stories. I mean, I love GoBundance in that. And thank you for sharing that. It reminds me of like the old world where, you know, travelers and entrepreneurs back then, I don't know what they called them back then, but, you know, would gather around a fire and share stories. But yeah, it sounds like that's what you've been doing. But that's great. That's great. It's funny. Yeah, let's get into though, what within GoBundance, especially how it's fusing into to you, your life, your business. What are some of the things that have happened so far?
Wow. Well, I think that I had no idea that everybody was into longevity. Like everyone is into keeping themselves healthy. I think the average avatar in GoBundance, I would guess, is a 38 to 42 year old guy who's finally hit it money wise, family starting to creep up. And then I have some liquidity where they can go experience life, but they want to stay healthy. And they're really into their brains and their bodies and holistic medicine. And being that we do a lot of regenerative stem cell therapy, that's kind of what I'm maybe infamous for. We've had over 2,000 clients over the last 7 years. I had no idea going in that longevity was such an important part of a GoBundance members makeup. So that's been really fun getting to talk to a lot of guys. And we've had guys fly in from all over the country to get work done. That's been really great. We've also, the adventure side of it, if you read my bio, I've been to almost 50 something countries. I've done a lot of crazy stuff over the years. I'm not an adrenaline junkie. I'm an adventure junkie. I've never jumped out of an airplane. I've never bungee jumped. That stuff doesn't interest me. But if you can put me in a new adventure to experience the culture and maybe get my heart racing a little bit, that's right up my alley. And as it is with a lot of other GoBros out there. And for those of you who aren't in GoBundance, I apologize for kind of going down that GoBundance rabbit hole. I think that longevity, adventure, and just creating new friendships, man, it's, you ask yourself, how long am I going to have these friends? What is next? Like, do you stay with these people forever? But it's the first time in my life, and I'm almost 55, that I've actually jived with people that I can talk to and I'm on the same plane as, and I don't feel like I'm better than anybody, right? But if I'm living a life that is like the worldwide type lifestyle, it's kind of hard when the people in your small community aren't doing that. So I've learned that to not say no, to sit with GoBundance and say yes. If someone asks you to show up, you show up. And I think surrounding myself with a lot of guys have that same attitude has just been just amazing in a short 10 months that I've been in GoBundance.
Yeah, brother. I'm curious how you got into sort of the health and wellness space. What was the catalyst? Were you always, very active and part of sports and realized that, yeah, I want to make this my life?
Yeah, I have a real interesting background. My dad he was born in China, and he had a Russian mother and an Italian father who was entrepreneurial. And they came over here when he was 11. He spoke Chinese, Russian, and Italian, and he moved to Worcester, Mass. And he's just started his life and lost two siblings along the way to dysentery. They lived in a bombed out shelter post-World War II. And he became my gym teacher on that side. And then he married my mom, and my mom's dad played for the Boston Red Sox. Mm-hmm. So my mom was a first grade teacher, and I had a gym teacher as parents. And they're pretty awesome people. We just went to dinner with them. They're almost 80, and the energy is infectious. My daughter said at the dinner table, she goes, "Dad, I don't know, your genetics are really weird. You seem to be getting more energy as you get older." And I think that goes back to, nature, nurture is super important. But I was raised by, parents that were that they're teachers and they help people, right? Mm. So I've always wanted to be like that first guy in that could tell everybody else about, you know, what I've found. And I think, you know, I get into chiropractic. I was a chiropractor for 20 years, which was really great. And, you know, having had 6,000 to 8,000 patients, you kind of burn out after a while. And I knew from that point that I really wanted to use my entrepreneurial skill set. And I married my wife, Kelly, my second wife, Kelly, about 7 years ago. She was a health coach. She's a Reiki master, but her background is in marketing. And I've always been in sales. So, you know, we took what she did and what I did and we kind of molded it together and we own Center for Wellbeing. And now we have 3 locations and we did a lot of regenerative medicine prior to the COVID happening. But after COVID, everything kind of changed and slowed down. But what did happen was the country got even fatter and even more out of shape. So we now have a metabolic reset weight loss program that has got me to a point where, you know, I have the freedom to do kind of what I want to do because we've utilized EOS, entrepreneurial operating systems, and I'm an owner now. My wife, Kelly, is still the integrator. We're trying to move her out of that. But if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be sitting here right now because she kind of does the bulk of a lot of the dirty work. But to answer your original question, we've kind of morphed it. I know I just went all the way back from my father all the way to present weight loss. It's a lot. But the reality is we're in a sick country and we have ways to help people lose 20 to 40 pounds with health coaches and nurse practitioners looking at their metabolism and using food first. And it takes time. It takes a lot of training and marketing and sales to make this whole machine that is Center for Wellbeing work. And we have a location near Boston and we're about an hour north of Boston. We have 3 locations.
Okay. Yeah, a lot to unpack there. I want to ask about the weight loss, the getting back to health. You know, a lot of us, especially people, started using COVID-19 as like a joke to the how why they gained 19 pounds. But the metabolic reset program. Let's jump into that a little bit, only because I think that a lot of people still suffer with this, like you and I. Like I've been relatively thin all my life and in shape, what my wife would call fat skinny. You know, maybe I look like I'm in shape, but I'm really fat inside because it's just unhealthy eating crap all day. But because of GoBundance, because of the people we surround ourselves with, I've understood that, yeah, we got to take care of our insides and our blood and, you know, everything that's going on, having some awareness of it. Can you talk about the importance of, you know, these diets not working, you know, people, you know, associating that word and it's a yo-yo thing, but it's not a lifestyle. They don't incorporate it into their life. Can you expand on that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, food, like I just mentioned, food first, but you also have to look at your physical, chemical and emotional stressors, right? A lot of people come into our office and they say they eat well, but they don't sleep. So we have to teach them how to sleep. We have people that come in and maybe they say they eat well, but they're in a horrible relationship and their cortisol is spiked and they're in a fight or flight response and their body's just going to take whatever they eat and keep all that fat close by because it's a long-term energy source. So it's not, there's a reason why 70% of Americans are overweight. Okay. There's a reason why half of us are pre-diabetic. And you know, you just mentioned it. There's a lot of easy food, high carbohydrate food that just, if you're not burning it off, is going to sit right around the middle, right above the hips. And, but what has to happen though, is we have to figure you out as an individual. And that's where diets don't work. You can't just do the same thing. And yeah, you can drop caloric intake and you're going to lose weight, but you're going to gain it back. So our whole thing is to sit down with our health coaches, look at your blood work, look at your food sensitivities, look at your genetics, put it all together in a package where it's an individualized approach where the health coaches can sit back and say, okay, this is the direction we want to go. And lo and behold, 98% of our people lose 20 to 40 pounds in 90 days. But our whole goal is to have them keep it off long term. So in short, if you're sitting here and maybe you're 10, 15 pounds overweight, which is a lot of quote unquote healthy people, and you want to lose 10 pounds, I think where you really, if I can go through a day if you want, we can really talk about that. You want to get into that a little bit on how maybe a good day would look?
Yeah, yeah. I want to get into that, but I wanted to also, something just popped in my head that I wanted to point out, and we can kind of have fun a little bit with this. And I remember growing up, in the 80s. And, you know, remember, remember the kid in Goonies? I forgot his name, but Chunk was the guy, the character.
Yeah.
But, that was fat back then. That was, like, if you saw that kid, the kids that I was growing up with in school, he was considered a fat kid. And nowadays, like, if you look back at that movie or movies in the 80s, especially, what was considered fat was, they are skinny to today's standards. So I kind of wanted to fold that in too, is that like culture has shifted the mindset of what is the standard sort of vision of what fat or obese or unhealthy is. Like, we've accepted things that we didn't accept back in the day. So that, I just wanted to throw that out there, and you could take that or run with it or go with the daily
thing. Eric, you're right on. And just because it's common doesn't mean it's normal. Follow me? That makes you think about that for a second. Just because everyone's like that doesn't mean it's a normal thing. You know, we have a society where, you know, what is it? Is it the activity, lack of activity, or is it food, or is it both? And I think it's both. I think that kids aren't moving anywhere near what they used to move. You know, I think that the food is so carbohydrate heavy, simple carb heavy. And the liquids that people are drinking. I mean, think about Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts and the kids that go to those places on a regular basis. I used to think that coffee was an adult food, right? You didn't drink coffee when you were like in 10, 11, 12, 15 years old. And now we have kids drinking these high caloric based mocha lattes daily, right? And it's a caffeine and sugar caloric bomb. You drink that down, it's 800 calories. And you can't do that. You can't have habits that allow for that. So I think that, you know, if you're looking to really lose 5, 10, 15 pounds, it really starts with your sleep. I think that if you're not sleeping regularly and you're not working out a good, you know, I listened to Arnold Schwarzenegger the other day. They said, how many days you work out? 7 days a week. He said, do I get seven in? No, I get six. But that's what I do. I use it for my sanity. I'm always moving. I do around 10 to 15,000 steps a day. I get up at, anyone that knows me knows that no matter what, I go to bed at 9 o'clock. I'm like the worst party person on the planet. And I get up at 5. And I'm not saying I'm perfect by any means. My wife will tell you that I'm not. But I get up at 5. I have a big 20-ounce glass of water. And I go walk the beach with my dog, you know, and get that natural light in, and then try to fast until 10 or 11. You know, I try to get about a 14 to 16 hour fast in with just coffee. You want to hear how the rest of the day goes?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. The rest of the day. Well, I try to have a protein. We don't get enough protein in, right? We just don't. And so I try to make sure I have protein with every meal. I concentrate on the protein. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, even into Thursday, I really don't let myself eat the sweets. Although if it is stressful, I will have a cookie or something. But I try to be concentrating on those days, not let myself do that. I try to identify, and everyone knows when their weak time of day is, when they don't eat well. And I know that I'm from usually 2:30 to 4:30 in the afternoon. I will eat any sweet that's sitting in front of me. I will gobble it down. So that's my nemesis. So I try to have a big protein-based meal. I try to have as much salads as possible. I don't always do that. And I try to eat early. I try to get a meal in around between 5 or 6 o'clock at night. Again, as much protein as possible. And I drink alcohol, wine, probably 1 to 2 glasses, 2 to 3 days a week. And I'm not a big alcohol person just because I don't like it with food. I'm very lucky that way. I don't know. I know I'm talking a lot. I hope that gives some insight to a way of doing it. That's my way.
Yeah.
It's not the right way.
Right, right. But there's a baseline there. You know, there's a lot of hallmarks there that mimic or mirror exactly what I do as well. But in terms of exercise, though, where are you plugging that in to your routine?
Yeah. So, all right. So for longevity now, a lot of you guys are 38, 40, 42, whatever it is, and you got to live forever. But I will tell you, what you do in your 40s directly affects your 50s. At 55, I know now that you have to take care of yourself. And for longevity, the number one way human beings die, I'm not going to be morbid, but as you get older, if you can think of your grandparents, your great grandparents, what they do is they get weak. They fall and they break a hip, they twist a knee, and then they don't move. And then what happens? Eventually, pneumonia sets in, and that's what kills most people, is from lack of movement. So the number one thing you want is to stay strong. And you can stay strong. I did a GoBundance. I brought 10 guys up north, and I'm not going to say names. I don't know if they'll listen to this, but if they're listening, I was challenged to a pull-up challenge with a young guy. And I'll talk about this at Lake Oconee a little bit more. But I learned a lot, because in 1 month we could see how many pull-ups we could do at the end of the month one time. And I ended up increasing my pull-ups by 5, and not bad at age 55. But I learned that you can really easily tear joints and rip yourself up when you're trying to do a lot of work as you get older. But again, high intensity interval work, increasing your muscle strength, staying strong, staying stable, I think is probably one of the primary things. I think it's probably more important than having good cardiovascular output. I think if you can keep a lot of muscle, as you get older, you're going to be probably healthier. You're going to at least be able to, the more muscle you have, the faster your metabolism is going to go. And you're going to be able to maybe cheat a little bit more just because your metabolism is cranked. I have way more sweets than people know. Way more.
Yeah.
My wife will tell you. And, but again, I'm doing a lot of workouts I'm doing, just not crazy, but I just do stuff throughout the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, like I know you said you're getting the walks in, but in terms of like you going to the gym, you hitting the bike, you know, treadmills, those things as well.
Yeah. So I mountain bike 3 to 4 days a week. I stand up paddleboard in the ocean a couple days a week. And, I do high intensity interval work 4 days a week in these CrossFit like classes. And, and then I walk every morning and try to get, you know, probably 10,000 to 15,000 steps in. Yeah. So that's kind of my routine.
Yeah. Do you stay away from running? Is that like, you know, joints, knees, legs and stuff?
It's a great question. I've done 110 triathlons. I used to own triathlons. If you read my bio, that was my life. I was actually almost 40 pounds lighter than I am right now. I'm 210. I used to race at like 175 and done a bunch of marathons. And I now know that it contributes to joint pain. I think only about 15% of people are made biomechanically to run. I'm not anti-running, I did a triathlon this summer. I went out and did 3 miles, thought I was going to die. I think that walking as you get into your 50s, and I'm not going to say what's right or wrong for you, but you know, my history with working with runners, and we have a lot of athletes that come in. I think that it doesn't help once you've already hurt a joint. I think running when you're over 50, 60 years of age, we're bilaterally asymmetrical as human beings, and it will create more a faster rate of degeneration if you have damage already. So if you're not going to be damaged, you can go out and run, go to town. But I have a little torn meniscus that stem cells have helped immensely, but I can feel it in there only when I run. So I try to stay off of it.
Gotcha. Yeah, makes sense. Let's get into that. I do want to tell some of your crazy stories before we go. But I want to jump into stem cells in terms of your speaking to me, because I just turned 51 and I did this one silly thing, which you would never think. I think my wife and I went to a retreat and there was some axe throwing, and then I was doing the whole motion, you know, that you would do as a wannabe Viking and throwing an axe, and I had it over my head. And then, ever since then, bro, my left shoulder behind my deltoid, it hurts when I move it a certain way, and it's never healed. And I'm like, oh man, I must have torn something or did something. I'm imagining maybe I can come take a visit with you and like just hit me with an injection in that area. How does it work, basically?
Yeah. So if you're listening to this and you have tissue damage that's been over 6 months, it's probably not going to get better on its own unless you're under 35. Right. So if you've damaged tissue and it's 6 months post-injury, it's not going to go away, probably. We do ultrasound guidance. So what we first do is we do a Zoom consult. We have people that fly into Boston from all over the country. And if our nurse practitioner thinks you're a candidate and you come up, we do ultrasound guidance to actually look in what area is damaged. My left shoulder, very similar to you. No, my right shoulder. I did something stupid years ago and, I could barely do a push-up 2 years ago and I had an AC joint tear and a rotator cuff tear. And now I have, you know, I did 19 pull-ups the other day. So it's, I could never have done that prior to stem cells. So the reality is, you have to have a practitioner that knows what they're doing. You have to have a product that is clean, that has been tested, that has a proper scientist behind it. And, we have a run right now where we know who to take on as clients and who to turn away. And that's the most important thing because we want people to pay a lot of money for this and we want to make sure we get results. Not everybody gets results, but a good 90% of people do very well. And if for that reason, no one's running me out of town with a pitchfork like Shrek or something. So it's been good.
Yeah, I know the stem cell has definitely been top of mind and very topical for especially people in our space. But what are some of the common misconceptions that people have in terms of stem cells?
Well, going way back to the Bush administration, when stem cells first came into the ethos that is the United States, they were using aborted fetuses and there was some nasty stuff. So that's all illegal. That might happen overseas, but in the United States, obviously we're not using, it's all from a healthy baby, healthy mom. It's tested through a third party the same way our blood supply is tested. We're actually using purified amniotic fluid now. We've had over 1,000 patients go through it. So these are little microvesicles, little bubbles that heal people very, very quickly. So I think some of the misconceptions are that, you always hear, oh, this didn't work, that didn't work. Well, the reality is we're getting better and better in two ways. The products are much more concentrated now and they're more powerful. Again, we're vetting people out. We used to take our failures would be we would take on anyone who wanted to do it. And we'd have people with, what you really want to know is if you have, this is what it comes down to. And most people don't know what I'm going to say. If you have type 2 diabetes, which half the country does, and your hemoglobin A1C is elevated and your blood sugar is elevated and you're an inflamed person and we put stem cells in you, those stem cells are going to just get beat up by the inflammation. They're not going to know what to do. So if we put these into a professional athlete, which we do all the time, I know because I've talked to the doctors that do it, the professional athletes, it's like it supercharges them because their bodies just grab it up and they can start regenerating tissue. So the reality is, yeah, it works with an asterisk, but you have to know really what's being put in, how to do it, work with someone with experience and know that it's an investment in your future health.
Yeah. I love how you pointed out the simplicity of how most, especially, I forget what it is, the statistic, I think it's around 10,000 baby boomers die per day at this point. And it's very simple. Like you said, they get old, they get weak, they break something. And I've seen this in my family. And then they don't move anymore. And then all of a sudden they're gaining weight. And then they get sick. And every time they get sick, it's like, oh man, is this it? Is this Elizabeth, I'm coming. It's like, whoa.
That was a George Jefferson. I've never heard anybody do that except myself and my father. I'm coming, Elizabeth. This is the big one.
Yeah.
I love that.
But
George Jefferson.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's interesting, right? How people don't consider the things that could just simply take you out or can just your life in terms of your quality of life. These little things can actually help you. And yes, we're not going to be here forever, but there are certain things that we can do. Maybe it's stem cells. Maybe it's simply monitoring your health and diet and working with you throughout your metabolic reset program. Why don't we increase the quality of life so people can enjoy, climbing mountains at an age that you would never think that you would.
Totally agree. And it was Fred Sanford of Sanford and Son. It wasn't George Jefferson.
I didn't want to correct you there, but yes, it's Sanford and Son. I was the best around. I knew you would get it.
When people say the wrong thing on podcasts, I'm always in my car going, that guy's full of crap. So anyways,
It's the same time frame and two amazing, hilarious people. So before we part, want to get to some of our segments here, and then also if we have time to share your ice volcano story, because that is unique, I think. But let's jump into the next segment of the show, which is embracing the F word, meaning failure. What happened in your life, Jeff, that caused you to learn a lesson the hard way that you can share with us?
You know, I was with my first lady for 25 years before we got divorced, and going through a divorce is very difficult. I tried to look at it as a learning experience. My whole family got disrupted, and right, it was like this thing that just happened that I wasn't ready for. I would say that was, I don't want to call it a failure, but it was the biggest disruptor I've ever had in my life. And I was probably like the lowest I ever was. And very quickly it went like this. It was a hockey stick curve, and it allowed me to really look and say, okay, I have to do this on my own now. And when you're with the same person from age 19 to like 45, you're kind of like part of them. And when they say, I want to go somewhere else, and everyone goes through it. I mean, not everyone, but a high percentage of people go through breakups or divorce. And it really allows you to dig deep into what you're made of. And, what do you want in life, you as an individual? So I think, I don't know what that question was exactly, but failure, that was maybe the closest I can come to that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. I do want to share your story before we part. On the ice volcano experience that you had. Can you share a quick?
So when I was young and stupid, now I'm old and stupid. I used to see things online and go, I want to go there. And I found this volcano in northern Patagonia in the Lakes District called Volcano Orsorno. Look it up. It's that classic ice volcano. And back when the internet wasn't really good with reviews, I found a guy to bring me up it. And I didn't know how to ice climb. I didn't know anything about it. And I didn't know that people had died on the summit like all the time. And it's a 10,000 foot ice volcano. You drive up to 6,000 feet and you do 4,000 feet up with crampons. And the top, again, you couldn't really, back the internet wasn't like that in depth. It went, the last like 200 meters was at a 60 degree incline. And I didn't know that. And we get up there, and my guide I was tied into, he was like 5'2", a little Chilean guy, about 150 pounds, and he was hungover. And I don't even know if he'd climbed before. Well, we got up to this point where we now had to climb to the top, and a storm came in. Not just any storm, a big storm. And we were clinging to this because we're up at 10,000 feet, right? And the wind's blowing like 60 miles an hour. It's whiteout conditions. And we're just clinging to the side of the mountain. And he's like, it's going to blow over. It's going to blow over. And it didn't. So we had to turn around. And it was, think 3,000 feet. Okay, 3,000 feet, you would go. If you slipped, you would go 3,000 feet down with crevasses, and you couldn't slip. And I was tied into him. Mm. So for 2 hours, we had to lean into the mountain, lock in and take a step, and then take another step, and take another step, and then cross the mountain all the way down. And if either of us slipped, we were going down and we would have died. Wow. And we made it. We got to the bottom, and the sun came out. And I went back and I talked to, at the hotel, I talked to the guy behind the desk, and he goes, oh, you didn't hear about the what happened with last year with the helicopter? I said, what helicopter? He goes, a family of four got stuck at the top and for like 2 days, and they sent a helicopter up, and the helicopter smashed into the side of the mountain, and the family of four ended up freezing to death, and the four National Guard people died. And I was like,
wow.
That's, maybe I would have been good to know that before. But again, all's well that ends well, and no more. I could do that again.
Yeah, unfortunate for that family and the rescue team there. But yeah, you wouldn't be here. I guess all of this wouldn't have happened. Who knows what alternate life you would have been experiencing if you didn't do that. But glad you're here, brother. You made it through that. And the last portion of the story here before we go, brother, and that is one of my favorites, is how do you help people in one word? What is one word that you can share?
You know, that's a good question. I always like to have empathy, right? I always go back to that because right now we work with a lot of people. A lot of people maybe aren't so nice to Kelly and I. We run a business, and the bigger you get, the more you have people that want a piece of that. And we've run across a few people in the last year that weren't the nicest people that took advantage. And instead of being angry at them, I try to feel for them. And when I do that, it flips a switch. That stress goes down, that cortisol level tends to relax. And am I helping them? I think in a way, I think there's a calmer shift, right? If people, you know, if somebody does something bad and I do something bad in return, we just keep doing this. So how am I helping them? Just by not having hate or being angry and letting it go. I hope that helps them. And I know that it helps me. I don't know if that answers your question, but
yeah, absolutely. I love that, dude. I'm with you. It's much healthier to forgive, and to move on and have empathy because we're not perfect, right? Everybody's going through a challenge. So yeah, that's great, man. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you. What is the best way people can reach out to you if they want to know more about what you and Kelly are doing?
You know, I think if you go to centerforwell.com, C-E-N-T-E-R-F-O-R, well, W-E-L-L.com, that kind of shows a lot of stuff that we do. Or if you go to, you know, Jeff Donatello, if you look me up on Google, I'm very proud. I have no mugshots on there. Donald Trump couldn't say that until the other day, but yeah. I have no mugshots on Google. So you can find me on Google and all the weird stuff I've done.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm out there.
Awesome. Dr. Jeff Donatello, to be exact, .com will bring you to all his wonderful stuff too as well. But cool. All right, brother. Well, thank you, man, for spending some time with me. I'm looking forward to hanging with you in person soon. I'll talk to you soon.
Eric, my pleasure. It was fun.
That's it for now, folks. If you'd like to stay in touch with the show, you can contact me directly at eric@onairbrands.com. That's Eric, E-R-I-K, @onairbrands.com. And if you aren't already subscribed to the show, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. And please recommend us to one or two people in your circle. That will go a long, long way to growing our community. Also, if you could rate us on iTunes, just take a moment to give us 5 stars. And if they have more stars, give all of them. We'd greatly appreciate you for that. And always, always like, subscribe, and share this show on social media. We'd love you for that as well. And if you have any ideas or want to hear something on a future show, please hit us up. Maybe you have a question for one of my guests, or you want to tell a story, a success story. We'd love to hear from you. You can do that, especially if you're on the Anchor platform. You can leave us a voice message. We'd love to incorporate you and your voice on a future episode. Once again, folks, thanks again for listening to the Entrepreneur Circle. Please like, subscribe, and share. I am Eric Cabral, and as always, remember, your network is your net worth. So get in the circle.